بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد أخذ الله ميثاق بني إسرائيل وبعثنا منهم 12 نقيبا. Allah Ta'ala had taken a pledge from the Bani Israel, pledge about maintaining the Sharia, not violating any of the conditions, any of the rules of the Sharia, establishing namaz, giving out zakat, أَقْرَضْتُمُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا, and loaning to Allah Ta'ala a beautiful loan, and believing in the Rasuls, وَأَزَّرْتُمُوهُ, and then supporting them and assisting them. So this was the gist and the essence of the pledge, the promise that was taken from the Bani Israel. وَبَعَثْنَا مِنْهُمُ اثْنَيْ عَشَرَ نَقِيبًا, and to facilitate dini work, Allah Ta'ala had sent 12 leaders from amongst them. 12 leaders and from amongst them. Could have sent one single leader, but 12 leaders were sent from amongst them to facilitate the work. The leaders were chosen from amongst them for the better understanding and smoother administration of the work. There is compatibility, there is understanding. He is our man. The Bani Israel were 12 tribes, and from each tribe one leader was appointed. So it could have been one single leader or one person from a different tribe, but Allah Ta'ala made it such that that person from the tribe was appointed as their leader. 12 tribes, so 12 people from the tribes respectively were appointed as leaders. The reason is obvious: there will be better administration, better understanding, better work. So this is not racialism, it's not prejudice, rather it is better understanding. It's your business operation, your child will understand your business operation better than others. So you appoint him in your absence to take charge. Not because you are racist against the other staff or you underestimate the ability, but you understand this person here and he will assume that level of responsibility. There's going to be a better compatibility and understanding, so you appoint him as the person in charge. And perhaps this may have been the reason why the hadith very clearly said, Al-Immatu min Quraysh, that the imams, the amirs, the leaders of the nations must be a Quraysh. He is from the family and he knows that this is what is expected. He has a level of compatibility and understanding with the work because it's coming from his family, so he'll understand it better. When he understands it better, then he'll know how to administer it. But this family and lineage is not a thing to be boastful about and not to be proud about. Sometimes people take it in the wrong end. They don't understand it. They feel, well, it's the prestige of the family and something that must be kept within the family, and the family have got some type of special rights to piety, righteousness and merit, etc. So it's not a thing to do with any family. Now you've taken a wrong end and you feel that it is exclusive to the family. You've got rights, you have got certain privileges, and the privilege is exclusive to the family. Now this is wrong. Mullah Jami Rahmatullah Alayhi says, Banda ishudi tarke nasab kun jami ke dari ra fala ibn fala nist. When you are a slave of love, it was love of Allah Ta'ala, then leave out your lineage. No, I'm so and so, the family of so and so, coming from here, coming from that family or this family. Leave that aside. Ke dari ra fala ibn fala nist. I, the son of so-and-so, there is no such a thing in this path. What have you done? How much have you done? What was the level of your commitment? This is what is going to be seen. And this, that you belong to this family and this lineage, or you associate with this buzurg and this pious person, that's not going to be accountable. What's going to be taken to account is what have you done? How much have you done? Andarira fala ibn fala nist. One historian writes that when a nation begins to speak about its achievements and the things that it has excelled in, you know, their fathers and their grandfathers, they speak about them highly and greatly, and that's a sign of its decline. And the reason that he says, the reason he gives is that they've got nothing in them to show. They've got nothing in them to show. They're showing about their ancestors and their predecessors. But what's your achievement? What have you done? That's what we need to see. Don't talk about your ancestors. They are past, they're gone. Ummatun qad khalat laha ma kasabat wa lakum ma kasabtum. They have gone, they have passed. They will get what they've worked for. But what have you done? What have you strived for? Laha ma kasabat wa lakum ma kasabtum. So this Bani Israel, one of the reasons that they had gone off was this: they felt too proud about their lineage, too proud about themselves. نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاءُ. They began to say and claim that we are the sons of Allah Ta'ala. We are His favorite. So this is the point where they had gone off the course. They considered themselves to be the privileged, to be the beloved. They felt that they had exclusive rights to Jannat. لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. Exclusive rights, exclusivity they had got. So when they began to feel that they were a chosen people, exclusive rights, they have got that type of lineage and that type of association with Anbiya alayhi salam, so we are a class that is thrown in. We are above the rest. And when they considered themselves to be above the rest, then they became complacent. That we have got that lineage that others don't have. We have got that respect that others don't have. So when you have got that lineage that others don't have, then we are a class of our own. We are above the rest. Now we are thrown in, whether we strive or we don't strive, whatever happens, but we are a class of our own. What they didn't realize, what they failed to realize, is they were favored through the path of deen. What were they favored for? They were favored for on account of deen. That their ancestors had strived for deen, all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Just between Musa alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam, there were 1,000 Anbiya that were sent to the Bani Israel alone. Imagine how many Nabis came just to the Bani Israel. 1,000 Anbiya just in this period, from Musa alayhi salam to Isa alayhi salam. So how much they were blessed? How much they were blessed? They were blessed on account of deen. Now the respect that they had got, the honor that they had earned, the influence that they had was on account of deen. They failed to realize that honor, respect, influence came from the line of deen. Now they went to look for honor, respect in a different line. Right? They went into the world, they went to see now how can we control material. And with material control, we will rule the world, we'll have that honor, we'll have that respect, and we'll have that integrity. So integrity became the factor that they are searching for. But now what's the root? The root is something else totally different. This was the line that they had got, and they had earned that honor and that respect. Then they've got it. And this was the line that they had got it. If they needed to get that again, they need to take the same road. But they failed. They went on to a different, totally opposite road, opposite end. And they lost it after that. So Allah Ta'ala says, فَبِمَا نَقْدِهِمْ مِثَاقَهُمْ. They had broken those pledges. This was the reason where they had broken their pledges. They didn't feel the need now to emulate and follow that path. They felt we are a class above the rest. So when you're a class above the rest, then we are exempt. You know, if there is a certain government department and your friend is one of those officers, everybody has to follow the queue. And you, what you will say? Hey, my friend, I got my friend. You'll just make a telephone and you'll cut the line, you'll do everything and you'll get in straight. So you think that you are a class above the rest. So when you're a class above the rest, then you don't have to follow protocol like the rest of the people have to follow the protocol. They have to work and they have to do righteous works, etc., etc., to come up. So we don't have to do this. Allah Pak says them, Tilka amaniyuhum. These are just your fanciful aspirations, your thoughts, your aspirations. That this is how you're going to come up. Tilka maniyum. These are just your aspirations. So the path of ascension is totally different. Don't feel to yourself that I have got some type of a lineage, I have got an association with someone, and on account of that association, that lineage, I am thrown in, I'll be blessed. Don't think like this. In the meanwhile, association is important, but the association doesn't mean that you must become complacent. The association means that you must become more conscious. Now I'm associated with this person here, I need to be even more conscious. Association is like, you are pining to get married to a certain girl. You are trying and trying and trying. You got someone to make recommendations for you, make dua in the Haram Sharif for you, Tabligh Jamaat, Pedal Jamaat to make dua for you. Got some ta'weezes from whatever and whoever, you got everything done. Now eventually, after ta'weez and dua and someone made sacrifice and sadaqah, everything for you, eventually you got right, the proposal came through. Right. If you have to walk near the street of the girl that you have proposed for, you'll be very cautious. You won't be flirting with any girl there. Hey, you know, I'm toh baksha baksha gaya hun. I'm only thrown in, now I can flirt around, I can do anything, I can whistle and flirt and do everything else. You'll be very cautious. Before you weren't so cautious, before you could be connected to this girl, you weren't so cautious. But the fact that you are connected now, now you are extra cautious, very, very cautious. Phoong phoong karke kadam leta hai. You see every step of yours. Okay, I got this association, I mustn't snap, this association mustn't snap. I don't know what step of mine will just break this association. They took the other end. The other end they took, no, we are thrown in now. We're thrown in, we don't need to be careful like the rest of the people. See how they went in the opposite direction. And what they needed to do is to be even more cautious. One person is making tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif and he's repeatedly making this dua. Allah Ta'ala, I ask your protection against your wrath. Allah Ta'ala, I ask, seek your protection against your anger. Repeatedly. Someone asked him, Bhai, what is this? I heard a lot of other duas, but this dua here, I heard it for the first time. So he says, you see, it's not a thing to be spoken about, but I'm a wali of a certain class, right? I was making tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif, and my eyes went towards one girl, and I took that lust for a moment. And a hand came out from the unseen and slapped me. And it told that this was the first chance, you did for the first chance, and you see, you dare do this again and see what happens. Then you will be broken to pieces just now. Okay? You see, now you have reached up, when you've reached up and you've got an association with Allah Ta'ala that is not like the association of the rest, you have got a special link, a special association, then you need to be even more careful. You can't now consider yourself like the rest of the people. Now you need to be very careful, very cautious. So Allah Pak speaks about them. فَبِمَا نَقْدِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ. They went and broke their pledges, their promises, that they will support the Anbiya, they will respect them, they will keep up to their obligations, namaz, zakat, roza, etc. They will do all these things. But they went and broke it. Not only did they break it, but when you see, when a person is declining, he's declining, then he reaches a point that he becomes complacent, immune towards wrong. And then actually he goes to the point to make a mockery of deen. So they reached that point where they made a mockery of deen. Allah Pak speaks about it, يَقْتُلُونَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ. They were slayed and killed, assassinated Anbiya, about 40 Anbiya alayhi salam on a single day. Imagine, one day to go and kill. What a heart they must have had. And yet they would say, with all the rubbish they were doing, they say, قُلُوبُنَا hulf. You know, our hearts, they are preserved. Nothing foreign can enter into our hearts. We are a class of our own. قُلُوبُنَا hulf. Abnaullah. With all this wrong that they're doing, they're still living in the dream of this. Like we would say, they're still living in the dream. So Allah Pak says, فَبِمَا نَقْدِهِمْ مِيثَاقُمْ. They went and broke their pledges. لَعَنَّاهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً. Now, when Allah Pak is speaking about the Bani Israel, He's addressing us. When He's addressing us, so what He's telling us, see, the Bani Israel was not a class that was outcast. I didn't throw them out just like that. I threw them out because of their deeds and their actions, because of their behavior and conduct, the ill conduct and bad behavior, I threw them out. So you also be careful, like they were thrown out, you are no exception to the rule. So that's what Allah is saying. That's why He's addressing us. Otherwise, there was no point for Allah Ta'ala to address us. He's addressing us. He's talking about the Bani Israel, but He's addressing us. So why is He addressing us? See, this was the reason why these people were thrown out. I told them, I instructed them very clearly that they must support the Rasuls. And they went and killed the Rasuls. I instructed them to follow and to uphold the Torah. But they went and made a mockery of it. لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْيَهُودِ حَرَّمَ عَلَيْهِمْ الشَّحْمِ. Allah Ta'ala had made the fat of animals haram for them. Right. فَأَذَابَهَا وَبَاءَهَا وَأَكَلَ ثَمَنَهَا. They went and melted the thing. They went and melted that thing. Same fat, they went and melted it. They went and sold it and ate that money. Now, within their minds, they feel very appeased. Oh, see, we are so smart. Jews, why we call us Jews? So we must have some smartness in us. Therefore, we are called Jews. So what we will do now, we will melt the thing. Melt the thing, sell the thing. We're not eating fat. We're eating the money. And not the fat of the oil. Because when it's hard, then it's fat. When it's melted, then it's oil. So you see how smart we are. You see that. So they created this type of loopholes. They finished the whole, they destroyed the very essence of their deen. See that from what, when you're declining and how you decline, you begin to legitimize, you begin to legalize one thing after the other, one thing after the other. It's not so bad. But what Allah is saying, لَعَنَّاهُمْ. Really, what was the reason for all this? They had broken their promises. As a result, we had thrown them out. لَعَنَّا أَبْعَدْنَاهُمْ أَنْ رَحْمَتِنَا. We had thrown them out. Out. مِنْ جَزَاءِ الْحَسَنَةِ الْحَسَنَةُ بَعْدَهَا وَمِنْ جَزَاءِ السَّيِّئَةِ السَّيِّئَةُ بَعْدَهَا. It's a system of Allah Ta'ala that when you're doing good, Allah Ta'ala brings you in, He ushers you in. But you're doing good, you're looking for good, then He bring you in again. One step more, I'll take you in another step. وَمِنْ جَزَاءِ السَّيِّئَةِ السَّيِّئَةُ بَعْدَهَا. And when you commit one wrong, then you usher into another level of wrong. Unless you aren't careful, you aren't asking Allah Ta'ala istighfar, tawbah, how you're supposed to be making it. But now you see yourself being led into another problem. From one thing to the other, and the second thing, and the third, and you're moving on and on and on. And you're just getting deeper and deeper and deeper into the quagmire without even realizing that this is what's happening to me. سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah Ta'ala takes them in a way that they don't also realize that they are committing a wrong. فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ لَعَنَّاهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً. We had hardened their hearts. I can't understand anything that is worse than the heart hardening. Heart is hardened. Now, you can't, nothing is penetrating through. Everything is just bouncing off. Anything that is sent there, is directed there, is just bouncing off. جَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً. Allah Ta'ala had hardened their hearts. حَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِيمَ عَمَّ وَعَدِهِ. So you see this Bani Israel and why Allah Ta'ala is speaking about them. It's not because of a personal vendetta, na'uzu billah. See, this is His creation. So He was not going to have any personal vendetta for them. It's not a personal grudge. But it is a lesson that Allah Ta'ala is sharing with us. He's passing on to us. See, these people were rejected, were thrown out. And this was the reason why they were thrown out. And this is how Allah Ta'ala's plan works out. When you see yourself being inclined towards wrong and going deeper and deeper, then you need to get worried about yourself. Why is it? Why is it I'm getting deeper and deeper into a problem? Am I behaving correctly or not? I was doing one wrong and now I'm doing the second wrong. And I'm doing a third wrong. I was chatting to a woman, and now over the phone I was doing it. Now I'm doing it openly. And now when I talk to them, then I try and look at the beauty as well and the attraction, how the nose looks and how the ears look and all that. I'm trying to look for all this. Before I was chatting with them, and I was just taking some lust from my heart only. But now I'm looking even deeper. And then the third step, where's the third step going to lead me to? So you see what happens from one step to the second to the third. that is why they say, "Man la shaykha lahu fa shaykhu wa shaytan." When you don't have a guide, then that guide of yours is shaytan. Because you say, no, for dini reasons I'm talking to this girl. Within the heart, what's happening? Within the heart, only Allah knows what's going on. You want that conversation to be prolonged, so you take more lust and more enjoyment, more excitement. And more time, Isa Abraham says, that you don't give yourself more than one chance. Right? If you fell for the first time you fell, then don't now go and see now. Don't experiment. I'll fall for the second time, then I'll go and make my islah. No. If you're going to wait for that, then that can become an addiction. Then to move out will be very difficult. Now you need to go and correct yourself. Go to your shaykh, go and rot there if you need to. Go and just park there and go and correct yourself. I fell into a quagmire and I can't pull myself out. I've gone so deep, now I can't come out of this. It's a dangerous thing, brothers. We don't realize the consequence of the challenges of these days. We don't realize it. One person explained his own halat, His own halat, so he's not a third person. His own halat he's explaining. He says, "I used to only watch television for sports and for the news, nothing else. Only for the sports and the news. Nothing else, very innocently." Says, "Then I used to see the advert coming up in between the breaks and all that, advert of Castle Lager, whiskey, whatever else, was coming up. And obviously those adverts would be so captivating, that person is pouring and who's pouring it and what type of glass it is being poured and who's receiving it, all that looks, the person that is there. They're not only selling that, but they're selling something else as well here. So now all that thing just captured my heart. When it captured my heart, then I thought, hey, there must be something in this, Let me just go and try it only just for the fun of it, nothing else. And before he knew it, he was already an addict, alcoholic. Now he can't leave the habit, he can't kick off that habit. But where he started off from, you see, min jaza'is sayyi'ati as-sayyi'atu ba'daha. You went and experimented with one wrong, now you fell in so deep that you can't pull yourself out. So gunah is not a thing, you go and experiment, you go and try out, you will get in stuck, you'll get stuck in so deep that you can't come out of it. Guna is not such a thing. Whether it is a cell phone, whether it is a novel, these are not things to be experimented. They are all people that are writing these things, they are preparing these things, are Satanists. Many a time you go and look at their own profiles, they are Satanists. So they got Shaitani Asarat in that kitab, in those books of theirs. They got Shaitani Asarat in that. You ask me, I will tell you, they got Shaitani Asarat in that. And you ask, you wanting to know where the Jadu came and how this thing came, this through the books that you are reading. Now, just to make you understand what's going on, I don't like to be negative, but just to make you understand what's going on, one girl, she spoke about her own self. I'm not talking about any outsiders now. She's speaking about her own self. But as a lesson, I'm showing you. We treat these things as very casual, and sometimes we take it, na'uzubillah, we take it as a praise. My wife, she can read about 500 pages in one single night. And people will come and tell me, sometimes Murana's wife also, na'uzubillah, Allah Ta'ala protect. But they come and say these type of stories. In one single night, they can read up to 400, 500 pages. So, min jazai sayyat ya sayyatu ba'daha. Remember, you are right on the border. These novels, they're not only on the border, but they are deeper. That borderline is also, it's also dangerous. Where you're standing is a very dangerous thing. To be on the border is very dangerous. Likulli malikin himan. You're right at the border, you can slip in very easily. Remember, this layani, layani? Nonsensical things, things that have no dini faida and dunya faida, they border with impermissibility. 9 out of 10 times, when it's layani, it's bordering with something that is impermissible. When you start it off, you just go and experiment and you see how you fall. You see, we want to know that why do we get demotivated, why do we break and why do we crack like this, why, what happens to us? But the reason is this, when I see it carefully, then it is either we coming right to the border, or either we don't know what is the meaning of respect. You got our mashayikh or buzugana deen, how do we associate, how do we link up with them? What level of respect we need to show for deen? What level of respect do we need to show for our elders, etc.? What do we do? For everything else, we can go and see the doctor. we can see everything else. But here, no, we can't. We feel ashamed to go and speak about our halat. But the doctor, no, the doctor says you got cancer and you got this. So you are very particular about the treatment and follow up everything you're doing. Because you have got that concern for your physical health. But the spiritual health, have you got figure for that? If you had that figure for that spiritual health, you would have been more concerned there. Like the Bani Israel, they were only concerned about the dunya. And they made strides. They wanted respect, and they wanted respect in this world. They went all out. Went and sold their wives and their respect and everything. Casinos and what you name it, they got everything. But at what? At the price of the integrity. Children of Anbiya, and doing this step, stooping to such a level. Imagine, to what level they're stooping. Just for that worldly pride, that worldly honor. But from where to where? Whereas their respect and their izzat was, come to deen, hold on to the deen. On account of the deen, you got your respect. When you got your respect out of the deen, then you will get your respect again if you go back to the deen. But the moment you're going to let go, then everything is going to go. And you're going to sell everything for that control over material. So we're talking about this woman, this girl, young girl, 13 or 12 years of age, 13, 14 years of age. And she's addicted to these novels. Then you get her brothers and father and all say, hey, she's such an avid reader. You know, one night, 300, 400 pages. But she confided herself. She confided and confessed. I read that book. You know, one book I read. And it had such a captivating effect on my mind, on my heart. That now I have a pressing urge, irresistible urge to go and commit incest to my own father. I don't like to be negative, but I'm just showing you. You see, when we speak normally, don't do this, don't do this, then we take it quite lightly, you know. We take it lightly. But what happens to that person's mind? What happens to that person's heart? Only Allah Pak knows. And there are very few people that can come and acknowledge their mistakes. Very, very few people. You know, I was talking to one accountant, top accountant, not an ordinary accountant, very, very top specialist. I was talking to him. I told him, you see, these laws and regulations that the Shariat has got for parda, etc., is for a reason. And you need to honor them. You need to respect them. Your wife's nieces are not your nieces, remember. Your wife's nieces are not your nieces. You need to observe all the type of parda from them. Don't think, no, it's a casual thing, I can just talk to them and pass my hand over the head and all that. No, don't ever think like that. Because she's a stranger to you, she's a stranger. You need to observe all those laws. See now, in this age what happens is that the woman calls the shots. In all your holidays, in all everything else, in all your surplus money, she calls them. She makes the decisions. So it is just give in. I don't say that you don't be compassionate towards the woman. But don't let her be the leader. Allah Pak is saying, قَوَّام. رِجَالُ قَوَّام. You are the leader. So you must remain in your position. You're going to leave your position, the whole house is going to sink. I don't say don't be compassionate. Be compassionate, spend on her, spoil her. But don't you let her be the leader. She is naqis, she will sink, she will let you sink as well. So I was explaining this person by, you know, you need to see that you observe these things very well. Don't take it lightly at all. When I was just started off the own, there was no discussion prior to this. I just started speaking, and as I got on speaking with him, I saw his face going down, his face became a little bit red, and there was some tears swelling from his eyes. Mawlana, but I'm in a fix, man. Mawlana, I'm in a fix. Some people you enjoy speaking, sometimes some accountants and all that, because everything must be transparent and clear with them, so they'll say everything clearly, you see. They won't hide, you know. Now, when I meant this and I did this, they won't come out like that. They'll be very clear. So you like that, you appreciate it. So he says, no, because of the wife pressure, I have to go to my wife's family's homes and all that. I have to go there. Weekend, this, that, whatever. Go to picnics and all that. And those girls are very fond of me. It's my wife's nieces, and they're very fond of me. And they like me, to bits they like me. When they see me, they just grab me. You know? So I'm just silent now. I don't want to make him say something. So I'm silent. I want to hear the story, what's going on. He says, but when they grab me, the girls are about 7, 8 years of age, I get a full erection. What do I do now? Now if I'm going to say that we don't, not going to maintain any relationship now, then they will say that I'm severing relationship. And I'm going to have a fight with my wife. And if I'm going to disclose what's happening to me, it's going to be a bigger problem. What you are doing with my nieces? But no shame. So both ways I'm caught. What do I do? You see. So the Sharia has made all these barriers. It's made it for your own interest, for your own goodness. It's not for the Sharia doesn't benefit. You benefit. Really, when you see at the end of the day, imagine if your daughter was the culprit for this type of situation. Would you appreciate it? You won't appreciate it. But this is a fact. Sharia says, no, you just maintain that barrier. That girl is six, seven years of age. And your stupidity is that you dress them up for the kill. You see these girls, how they dressed up. How the mothers are dressing them up. And the mothers will say, no, if you don't dress them up like this, then the whole world will say that your daughters are like paupers. They've got no clothing. So I need to dress them up. I say very strongly, not only girls, even boys. Even boys, you need to see that they dressed up very modestly. People come to me. People with beards, non-beard, professional, non-professional people. They say, this child, but he's got all the feminine looks, man. I just feel attracted. Talking of all educated classes of people, not just ordinary people, but they feel, they've got the feelings. But it is also the parents' problem. How they dress these children up, they're dressing them like that. People are feeling attracted. They can't say that, no, this is what's going on in my mind. It's their embarrassment, it's disgrace for them. How can they speak about these things? So you see, we're talking about the collapse of this Bani Israel and what brought about the collapse. Allah Ta'ala says about them, He asked them, "Udkhul al-ard al-muqaddasah allati katab Allah lakum." Now you've been saved from the Bani Israel, from all fears, the Coptics and Pharaoh and everything else. You've been saved. When you've been saved from all this, now udkhul al-ard al-muqaddasah. You know, you people, where you came from? Sham came from Syria, from time of Yusuf alayhi salam, when there was that famine and all that, and you people all came into Misr, you came into Egypt. Ever since you haven't returned to Sham, Syria. That was your hometown. So now go back to your hometown. Udkhul al-ard al-muqaddasa. Holy land. Land of the Anbiya alayhi salam. Land which received wahi. Hundreds of Anbiya alayhi salam are resting there. So that holy land, go enter that holy land. These Egyptians, when they came into Egypt, they were approximately 12, 13, right? And when they had to go to Sham, to Syria, in the history books, they were already 600,000. How much? They were 12, 13, family, maybe the aunt, uncle, whatever else, mother, etc. So 12, maybe maximum 20 they were, right? Just extended here and there, these wives, whatever, 20, 25 they may have been. So they came in that number, but when they were leaving now, they were 25. So, Allah Pak commanded them, you came from Sham, you need to return back to Sham. Udkhul al-ard al-muqaddasah allati katab Allah lakum. And Allah Pak already gives them a good news in advance. Okay, you see, katab Allah lakum, this land has been already decreed for you. You need to go. Allah Pak has decreed this land, you'll go. You'll get this land. You'll be victory. فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمُوا فَإِنَّكُمْ غَالِبُونَ. You must be in, and the victory is yours. فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمُوا فَإِنَّكُمْ غَالِبُونَ. You must just get in. The moment you get in, the victory is yours. So Allah told them in advance, the land is yours. But you see that mischievous nature of this, sinning again. فَبِمَا نَقْدِهِمْ مِيثَاقُمْ. They go and break promises after promise. Violate. So when they go to that extent, of breaking and breaking all the time, then your understanding also becomes warped. Allah is telling them, but you just have to get in and the victory is yours. Nothing else is required of you. Now that understanding goes warped, you begin to think opposite. These people, what happened there was they sent approximately 12 people, the 12 leaders, to go and make an investigation as to the Sham and the king and the leader, what it is like. They went and told their people, by no ways you're getting in there. اِذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكْ فَقَاتِلَا. You go, Musa alayhi salam, you go with Allah Ta'ala, We just sitting here waiting, watching. We'll wait and watch what's going on. When everything is right, then we'll come in. See how defiant they became. How defiant they became. Here, look at the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this ummah here, when they had to proceed for Badr. So Rasulullah had consulted the Sahaba Kiram, and he wanted to know exactly what was the opinion of the Ansar. And the Ansar didn't know that Rasulullah was perhaps directing his consultation towards them, because it's a mixed Ansar, Muajin, everybody. Until Miqdad ibn Aswad, he realized that Rasulullah was addressing him. When he realized that Rasulullah was addressing him, he says, "Ya Rasulullah, as though you are referring to us." He said, "Yeah, I'm referring to you people." He said, "You go, and we'll fight in front of you, behind you, on your sides, on the right, on the left. And if you command us to jump into the ocean, we'll do that. We won't be like the Bani Israel. Say, idhab anta wa rabbuka faqatila." Rasulullah's Mubarak face just became radiant, just sparkled like that. So anyway, when these people refuse bankly, now this is the point that I wanted to show you. Allah Pak tells them, فَإِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةٍ يَتِيهُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. So this land that has been promised for you, now it's going to be out of bounds, out of reach for you for another 40 years. You're going to just go around wandering in distraction for another 40 years. You're just going to go around. You are starting off the journey to move to Sham, or to move on to Syria, or to come back to Egypt. But that land is going to be out of bounds. So you're not going to get to Egypt from where you started your journey. You're not going to get back to Sham. That's your homeland. You're not going to go that way. You're not going to go. You're going to be just moving in distraction. The nukta that you take out from here is, when you leave out the allegiance, the loyalty with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you move in circles. You say, "No, I'll do this, then I'll come right, I'll do this." But the more you go, the more deeper you fall. The more you get distracted. The right way is to come back to that level of obedience. But the moment you leave that allegiance, you leave that loyalty with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you're just going to go in circles. And you will tell yourself, "No, I'll just do this. I'll just do this one interest, and overdraft, whatever. And then I'll come out and make tawbah and I'll just come right." No, it doesn't work out like that. I know in Spingo, you're over here 40 years now. Over 40 years, in fact. One person told me in those days, old man passed away now, Allah forgive him. But he told me, I wanted to purchase this house and nobody was forwarding a loan, so I took interest. I bought the house. Then I freed the house, but then a nice smart car was coming up for sale. Then I went and involved myself again. Now it's over 30 years that I'm still in this and I haven't come out myself completely. So the moment you go and experiment it, you got the taste of it, and you want to go again. So you can't come out of that hole. You go further and further in disgrace. You don't come out of it. Unless and until you don't make sincere tawbah to Allah, "Allah, forgive me. I want to get out of this. Allah, I ask you for sincere tawbah. I'm not going to do this again. No return. I'm not going to see backwards again. Allah, I've made tawbah. I've left this thing. I've left it out. I've left looking at the wrong things. I've left it out. I'm not going to experiment this again. I've left looking and listening to the wrong things. Allah, I'm not going to go and do this again." But now one day you come right. One day you're hopping this side. And one day you're hopping the other end. Then that love is not appreciated. One day you are with your wife, and then the other day your wife is seeing you flirting around with other girls. Or she's watching your phone and you are flirting around with other girls. Will she appreciate this? Will this be called loyalty? So now please leave me now. I can't stomach this any longer. I can't go through this trauma any longer. Please, you either be with me or be with someone else. But if you want to be with me, then don't have this type of an attitude. Double type of a personality. One side you're with me and you show me all the love, and then you betray the love altogether. So Allah Pak also wants the same. Allah Pak is not asking something too much. "Boy, you got a love with me, you are in line with me. Then respect that line. Then don't break that loyalty." يَتِيهُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَلَا تَأْسَعَلَ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Allah Pak instructs Musa alayhi salam, these people are doomed for destruction. Now you don't grieve yourself for them. You have warned them sufficiently. Sufficient warnings have come to them. They have seen miracles of Allah Ta'ala being performed from before their very nose. They saw Fir'aun drowning. And they saw how Allah Ta'ala had saved Musa alayhi salam and his people all to the shore of safety. They saw it with their own eyes. When they wanted help, Allah gave them everything. But then these people are so defiant, they're so bent on their evil, that they're going all the time in spite of the warnings and all that. Then don't grieve any longer about them. So you see, this defiant attitude and this casual attitude, this complacent attitude that we have got in the matters of deen, really, we need to think for a moment. We need to see whether we are going on the right track or not. You know, a simple thing to understand is the most expensive commodity in a human being. What is the most valuable commodity? I ask you, what is the most valuable commodity in a human being? You will say a brain, right? You will say the brain. That's the most valuable commodity in the human being. Why will you say that the brain is the most valuable thing? Just move out the brain from the equation. Is the man valued anything? Anybody wants to buy him, take him on, accept his services? Is he of any value now? No value now. Right? So what's went wrong with us is we left thinking, we left contemplating, we left reflecting. When you reflect, you understand, you do things calmly, carefully, then Allah Ta'ala guides you. Because you are calm, you are careful, you are thinking from different angles, different perspectives. Why? What happened here now? What's gone wrong here? So you're looking at a situation, but you're looking from different perspectives. When looking from different perspectives, you are thinking about Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will definitely guide you. So this is the most valuable commodity. When it's the most valuable commodity, inshallah, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, it will bring you to the most valuable end. Because it's most valuable. It's most expensive. Right? You see, an ordinary person working in your garden, right? From the morning he'll sweat till the evening, he won't give more than 100 rands, right? And he'll say, thank you, boss, 100 times over, 100 rands, I will never get this. But an ordinary accountant or a doctor specialist, he sees you for 20 minutes and he can knock you for 1,000 rands. Is it right or not? What's the difference? He used his brains. That advice that he gave you for that 20 minutes or 30 minutes, it's so valuable. So he charged you accordingly. So the brain, if it's used, it will take you to the most valuable end. So this is where we're going wrong. We're not using the most valuable commodity, the most valuable blessing of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib.